everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the AMA. And coming to you live via no video once again. I'm just trying to save you the frustration of seeing us freeze on your screen, since we are not privy to really good internet connection speeds today. But nevertheless, we're all here, and with me I have none other than Joe Arminio and Alex Kushti. Say hi to everybody, guys.
It's good to be here today, everybody.
Hi, everyone. My pleasure to be here again.
All right. Well, once again, we have, just quite a bit of stuff happening with Ergo this week. I'm sure the community is in the know. From my end, still keeping with the education and with the funding routes. So basically, once again, working on various funding routes for to bring in more investment capital into the Ergo ecosystem to kind of get incubators and various funds to start taking, taking more advantage of what we're building here and to help us drive it mainstream. Also, the courses that I've been talking about are they're nearly ready. I need a little bit more time with them, and I will then give all the information about them as soon as they are good to go. And this is actually coursework that I've spoken to the educators that I'm working with that we're looking to just replicate. So not just we'll start with one university, and we will take it, across several universities and to other countries, and so that we have various places where Ergo is being taught as a base curriculum, which I think is a great way to onboard people. So that's it from me. I mean, it's just just the usual week for me. Just trying to make things happen for the ecosystem. How about yourself, Joe? How are things going on your end?
Things are going well. 2023 has been an exciting year in terms of the, prospects of DeFi moving into this year. We have Haley PDL yesterday dropped Sigma O, which is a call option contract. We've seen Duck Pools come out with their beta, which is a pool-based lending protocol. We've seen SigmaFi, that's a work in progress right now, coming from both Cheese and looks like one of the UIs is going to be a Nautilus, but I would expect that over time we'll probably see multiple front ends on that. And as always, we've had Exil that's building in the background with kind of a new DeFi primitive for communities that need micro lending. So I think moving into 2023, that's really quite exciting to watch. If I remember right, it's a little early here. 2022, when we were kind of rolling into the new year, the big talk in the ecosystem was simple wallet and UX improvements. And I think it shows that, the development has really evolved, to bigger and better things, which is great to see. So rolling into the new year, I'm pretty excited watching all the neat stuff that's coming out of the ecosystem.
So what's new with you, Alex?
Busy as usually. A new minor release is coming. Work towards major updates going on, as well as a lot of going on in community. So there will be a dev update on that, and it seems also the community is buzzing now. Okay. Pretty hot days actually.
Yeah, it's always really good just to see all the older building that is constantly going on. I mean, I know we say this a lot, but it really needs to be, you know, just really embraced. The community just does not stop building. I think the more the community grows, and we has grown quite significantly in the past year, I believe, we still don't have this, this like numbers go up shitcoin culture that you get in a lot of projects, small or not. And we're not really that small. We're huge, but we're not small. You start getting it all the way from the ground level a lot of times. You know, when moon, when the, you know, when up, when you know they'll make my bags grow, not when big partnerships go big, which is absolutely bullshit. I think it's not the way. And you know, I know that some of you know what I'm referring to, and that is, you know, these and this is not just the Avalanche thing, but we keep seeing these announcements about these blockchain projects partnering with these Web2 centralized infrastructure juggernauts and celebrating it. Like, it's like, oh yeah, oh, you know, it all can be done in one place. But that's the whole point. You can be all be done in one place. Options are good, but don't celebrate centralization. What I really love about the Ergo community is that, you know, we don't have people celebrating centralization here. In fact, it's the direct opposite. We're so decentralized that, you know, sometimes consensus takes more time than one would hope or one would wish. But, you know, that's how it works. That's how decentralization works. And I'm just really proud of the community for keeping with that, for keeping with this ethos of you know, this like clear connection to its fundamentals. What are your thoughts on that, Joe? I mean, what are your thoughts on these, you know, on these Web 2 into Web 3, let's partner with a bunch of corporate giants to do whatever thing. I mean, what is your look?
Well, Alex and I were talking before this call started, and we're essentially saying, you know, it's funny how sometimes the best marketing is the market itself, right? Let's say the last couple of days, you know, we've definitely seen a huge influx of activity across, you know, all of these social channels, you know, and so, you know, the number goes up, things get hot, but, you know, and it's a matter of saying, okay, well, you know, what's the value proposition of these systems, and do they reflect kind of the principles of why this technology exists, right? And I think that, certainly when markets get hot and kind of the market becomes the marketing machine, there's like this fight for attention, right? And whenever you get a fight for attention, you know, principles kind of go to the wayside or out the window. So in my mind, it's important for us to say, okay, absent market conditions, what's the value proposition that we're trying to build? What's the purpose? And stay true to that, you know, whatever the environment or the noise is. You know, I was certainly in, let's say, the last kind of hype cycle, you know, there were all kinds of projects, marketing, all kinds of nonsense. And I hate to say stupid money chasing that, but, you know, I think we all saw how it ended. So in my mind, keep it simple. What's the value proposition? Why does that matter? And how do we achieve that? Not, you know, how do we market something that moves the price more in one day?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the bottom line, look, the bottom line here is that if you really need to explain to people that should know that follow your project why this is such an important thing, something is wrong. And I'm not saying that it's necessarily wrong with the actual partnership or relationship that you've established itself, but there's a breakdown in communication. And you want to be open-minded. You want to think about, okay, well, maybe it's just because the community doesn't get it or whatever. But a lot of times it's because the crux of what is being announced is just, it's a nothing burger. And it's really kind of disheartening to see that, I mean, big players out there are celebrating centralization. It just goes to show that community like ours really need to stick to our principles, to why this project was born. You know, why Ergo, not how make Ergo go up in numbers, but why Ergo? Why are we building on this ecosystem? Why not something else? I mean, and I'll tell you this, you know, I bring this up as an example quite a bit because I'm in the middle of building something with Zengate. But again, when you're building a product that is not really super dependent on specific blockchain infrastructure, right? So when a product can be somewhat semi-agnostic with blockchains, right? If you're building some sort of a traceability software, if you're building something like, well, even what we're building at Zengate, the Palmyra Comdex, I mean, theoretically, it's somewhat blockchain agnostic, which is why we are going to be utilizing being ergo-centric, but then also utilizing Cardano tooling as well, as well possibly other UTXO blockchain tooling in the future. But when you're in this ethos and when you're actually kind of, you're out there and you're talking to people that are not just within your community, not just Cardano and Ergo people, but you're really out there like we have been doing, you know, doing business development kind of amongst all the other guys, you know, the Algorand people in the house, with the ETH people in the house, with Avalanche, with BNB, all these guys there. And, it just all kind of starts getting all blurry, you know, who, why, where does the value proposition, you know, theoretically I can do sort of the same stuff on this chain as I can do on this other chain. Why this chain? And it all comes down to the bones of it. You know, a lot of times it comes down to the bones of it. It comes down to why do I want to build in the Ergo ecosystem? Because I can see where it comes from. So when I will need to rely on the foundation, on the infrastructure of this network, I know I'm in good hands as a business. Because with some of these other guys, I don't know. Okay, they might have, you know, this froth tooling that supposedly can make things easier for me than in building on Ergo and on Cardano. But at the end, the foundation is crap. And in the end, it's going to topple. And this is why it's so important for us to keep to our fundamentals. Well, what are you guys' opinions on that? I mean, as far as building products that are not necessarily, you know, core tooling, but just really building a business on top of these ecosystems. I mean, what matters?
Well, I think you can pay for partnerships, but then we have to say, okay, well, what's the long-term viability of that? You know, it's interesting. This week there was certainly the, let's say, Avalanche Amazon Web Service partnership that was announced. There was some videos circulating regarding, you know, kind of ETH's future in terms of, you know, trying to move more towards mobile in terms of verifying the blockchain. And actually, Soizor, one of our core devs, released an article on Medium this week that, you know, Ross is on Twitter. I don't think he has very many followers because, well, he's a developer and he actually does stuff instead of makes noise. But talking about the practical applications of NepoPal for SPV clients and kind of going through some of the trade-offs, benefits, you know, trying to explain how NepoPals fit into the picture, and also giving some development examples in terms of, you know, how to send simple payments. So we should definitely drop that in the link, because, you know, in terms of our path forward as an ecosystem, that's a kind of core aspect of actually having decentralization, having the ability to run and verify without needing to trust, you know, some external indexer or explorer or server somewhere. So I'm going to drop that in the chat real quick. And, you know, it's funny, that's kind of East plan for what, 2032. And here we are in 2023, kind of laying the foundation for our own implementation on mobile and others as well.
Alex, as someone who really, I mean, this is your brainchild, you know, Ergo is your brainchild. How do you see something like this? How do you see, I mean, I know that you're obviously, you are biased to Ergo because you kind of, well, I mean, you came up with it amongst other things, but as someone who has built other blockchains and been involved in other blockchains, I mean, obviously Cardano, Waves, all these different projects, what is your how do you see this? How do you see you know, what's important when building a business on top of this core ecosystem that you're, that you've designed?
Oh, so yeah, I think so. It just enough to be doable, right? So the problem with Bitcoin is that very hard to do projects right on top of Bitcoin. So there were a lot of examples of failed startups, even started by core developers, for example Lighthouse, which was a crowdfunding application, and failed many years ago, like 8 probably. Commit to reality, right? So Bitcoin is the biggest project, right? And it's not announcing, it's the biggest cryptocurrency, I want to say. And it's not announcing partnerships with Amazon, right? Google, and so on. What else? So it's basically not doing that like 50 to 100x smaller projects are doing, right? Like Avalanche, Chainlink, and so on. Probably it's better to learn from the most successful, right, cryptocurrency. And that's basically what we are trying to do all the time, right? So, reconstructing Bitcoin success and improving it.
Right, right. Well, let's get to some questions here. Okay, so we have a question from Sab, and he's asking, how will Dexy avoid the same fate as Luna UST? Well, I would imagine depegging.
Every algorithmic stablecoin could crash, right, in some scenarios. There is no any silver bullet here, right? So maybe if it's possible, then the stable coin wouldn't be usable, right? Probably because of totally unrealistic capital inefficiency and so on. Right, Dexy is trying to do some things based on observations where other stable coins failed, right? So there is no unlimited minting Right. Minting is always limited, very limited, dependless on current collateralization, and that's basically how many stable coins failed, right? So at the top, when the price of collateral is highest, someone minted a lot of stable coins, right? And then at the bottom, it failed. So, for example, USDN failed, still failing in this way. Terra design was, especially bad. So there was so many mistakes there, right? And didn't prioritize stability. So instead, they prioritized TVL, right? Market cap, right? So number of USDs, algorithmic USDs you should. And so on. So the DEX is trying to be cautious, right? The central bank all the time, so releasing liquidity slowly, and doing interventions also slowly, and so trying also to grab on some liquidity on the liquidity pool to prevent popular scenarios. But even if we're not including just stable coins, but all the stable coins, right? Fiat currencies, so currencies. All the fiat currencies failing right with time. There are no exceptions, also.
No, it's true. The reality is, you always have these risk assumptions that you need to make. You know, let's say in fiat currency, there's a tendency for them to debase themselves over time, right? When you talk about algorithmic stable coins, you're always going to have points of failure. The beauty of that is they can be known, understood. And so the risk assumptions can, be known before you interact with systems. I think one of the stupidest things about Luna UST was they tried to build that as the core aspect of their network. And then everything on top of that was built on an improper foundation. And so when that foundation gave way, basically everything else was essentially worthless, and what they do, fork it. And I guess Luna Classic still trades and bounces around. And, some people think that's going to fix itself one day. Good luck. But there's certainly been a lot of failed algorithmic stable coins. And really the question I think that's most important for not only users to understand, but also people building these systems, are what are the points of failure? What does that look like? And it's something where, it's a matter of having clear assumptions. And when we get, I don't know, when the market is kind of the marketing machine, as we talked about earlier, sometimes that marketing machine is a little bit ridiculous. With Luna UST, everything was hot, nobody was asking the right questions,
right? I mean, if you have to build up hype, If you have to really try so hard to build up hype, then it's artificial. It doesn't exist. Even if you build up enough hype, we're past the days of, you announce a rebrand and the price goes 4x or something like that. This is not 2016, 2017. You know, this is not that market. And it's just it's really sad to see some of these projects really trying so hard to bring that back. It's not going to come back, and it shouldn't come back. I mean, yeah, sometimes it still works, but it shouldn't come back. We have to grow out of this. We have to grow into real utility. We have to grow into real adulthood of this technology that is not manipulated, whose I guess success is not manipulated by empty hype. And this empty hype is covering up real flaws, real issues that need to be addressed on by objectivity. That's one of the reasons, like Joe, we just said, one of the reasons why Luna failed and failed as bad as it did is because, it was hyped up so much. There was so much of this FOMO, moon boy crap around Luna that people weren't asking the tough questions enough. Is this sustainable? Is this real? What is it going to look like in 5 years? It's just not, my bags are going to get big, but what is the reality of this ecosystem? So yeah, it's I really hope that this bear market really kind of puts the proverbial nail in the coffins of most of this empty bull crap. And I know it's not going to disappear forever. I know it's not going to disappear completely, but I just hope it's diminished enough for the real builders to come out and to be heard and to be kind of giving the time of day that they deserve, because that's what's going to propel us into mainstream adoption. So let's go to the next question here. Here's a nice one. Can you talk on between Ergo and its sidechains and how sidechain to sidechain communication may work? So Joe, you want to take this one, or maybe Alex?
No, sure, I'll start. Let's kind of pick apart the question. Okay, so start, I guess, what is a sidechain, right? It's basically a independent blockchain with its own consensus mechanism. Some people, will kind of look at that as like a parent chain and then a child chain to a larger chain that's more application specific or has some particular use case. The general thinking is that when you get congestion on a main chain, if you can have something that's happening kind of in parallel, you can assist with offloading some of the block pressure, and that will help with throughput and scaling. So it's important to understand, number one, that a sidechain is its own independent network, right? Sometimes there will be shared consensus, but in terms of actors, but usually it is its own network that kind of has its own block parameters and maybe differences in consensus, and usually will have some difference in terms of how it processes transactions, right? Then you'll usually have a bridge, right? You need a way to send assets from one side to the other back and forth. You may have some, let's say shared tool set or capabilities, but that's not necessarily always the case. So in terms of Ergo at the moment, I guess, on one hand, we could say that, as Rosen comes out, every ecosystem we attach to and have the ability to kind of transact and communicate with does become a type of sidechain. It's not necessarily application specific, but it's one of these things in crypto where everyone tries to kind of market and create their new sexy term, right? And then the kind of like the core underlying architecture gets a little convoluted, in my opinion, where, you know, you get parachains and side chains and this chain and that chain. And sometimes they break down to things that are very, very similar, just good marketing.
Yep. All right, let's go. Alex, why don't you weigh in?
Sidechain term is going from foundational paper, positional paper of Blockstream guys mostly. Back then, from 2014 or 15, something like that. And they thought about some magic mechanism. The problem back then was that Bitcoin already was too conservative. To play with different features, people launched altcoins, right? And Bitcoin community was not happy about that, right? So as an alternative, they thought about sidechain as a kind of magic mechanism where you can launch a chain with additional features, right? And then trustlessly send Bitcoin to sidechain, and then also trustlessly got them back, right? If there is no consensus failure on the sidechain. We are not there, right? So there were different sidechain mechanisms proposed. But trustless options are totally inefficient, right? So there were some attempts to do relays and build sidechain on top of relays done as smart contracts. It's just inefficient. So in practice, we are using bridges, right? Multi-sig schemes. And sidechains sometimes also run by a federation of trusted parties like Liquid sidechain for Bitcoin. It's still kind of risks, playing with features not supported, adopting, cannot adopt, right, all the fancy features for different reasons, security in the first place. Magic.
Yeah, we're still, you know, that bridging aspect is still something that, is let's call it a work in progress, I guess, as a space. You know, you have some atomic swaps. We have seen a lot of bridging infrastructure in the last cycle that kind of blew up. So in terms of like the usability and trustlessness of sidechaining, I would say that's still an open question even. I know it's really good marketing to talk about, but in terms of like long-term, sustainability, we haven't fully seen that bridging mechanism work long enough without being exploited. I mean, there are some that are saying, okay, well, you know, maybe the only solution is to put it on top of trusted, you know, hardware, which I think is a terrible idea, but that's a whole nother conversation. So, you know, in the space, I get that it's really popular marketing, but in terms of risk and engineering, I think there's a lot to be done still. I do think Rosen is a nice step forward, but, is it the end all be all? We'll see. Let's see how well it works once it's live. I think it will do pretty well just because it's looking at the actual assumptions. But that's kind of an open question in my mind. Time will ultimately show, the designs.
Right. Okay. Let's go to the next question here. We got a couple good ones that we can go to. So let's see. This is a good, more like a business development question. Another good one for Joe. So S-Move says, love your work, guys. Thank you very much. And can you bring us up to speed with what UTXO Alliance is? What's role in it? So Joe, why don't you take this one? I think this is a good one for you to take.
UTXO Alliance is kind of a working group, or I guess a series of working groups that consist of different projects that share the UTXO model. We kind of look for points of overlap, the ability to work together. I would say at this point, the organization still is a little bit young. I would say long term, probably the first thing that the Ergo ecosystem could potentially offer the UTXO Alliance is access to the Rosen framework, right? Where, you have a variety of projects there that, could potentially become more liquid with one another through Rosen. But it's important to understand that when you're talking about actual decentralized blockchains, it does break down to kind of projects, right? So we have a ton of projects that are building on top of Ergo. You could look at Azorus as a good example. I know that Christopher's kind of interacting with the UTXO Alliance a little bit, working to, expand his little baby across all of the UTXO Alliance projects. So long-term, it gives a kind of central point of communication between ecosystems and projects to where we can collaborate, we can learn from each other, and, start, let's say, becoming a little bit more interconnected. I think that in our ecosystem, those two projects are probably going to lead the charge to start with, Azorus and Rosen.
So what do you think, Alex? What is your take on this?
I also think it would be good to organize more joint activities. That Ergo hack we had with Flux and Elephium. So it would be good to maybe run more hackathons with UTXO Alliance members. Maybe also having some joint summits. For example, Nervous guys, some of them. Made a lot of research before launching Nervous, right? And I don't know much about the current state of Nervous, but I think still it's research driven. I hope. Then, we can do pretty interesting things together.
Yeah. Yeah, it's always good. So cooperation is always good. All right. Let's see. Well, this is actually an interesting question from Sigmanaut. If other project crypto VCs would see Ergo as a threat to their project, better tech, etc., would it be easy to manipulate the price at such a low market cap? Do you see that as a risk? So I'll start, and why don't you guys chime in? So it really all depends on the community, I think. It really all depends on who, how much, or who will go for the quote unquote debate, right? So if, VCs or if funds, okay, let's say not just VCs, but funds, decide to take a better look at, at Ergo and say that, we just want to invest in the ecosystem. We want to invest in projects in the ecosystem without these, you know, predatorial intentions. Then it will have an effect on the price, but it'll affect on the price. It will have an effect on the price because value is going to be built up, and that's how sustainability happens with price. So you know, more money gets put into the right places, infrastructure building, large. It's not going to be price manipulation, but it is going to be an effect on the price. Now, what if we have a adversarial actor come into the ecosystem because they see Ergo as a threat and want to manipulate the market cap? And what can they do? Can they buy out a bunch of it? I guess they could do that, but still, I mean, it's going to take a hell of a lot of money to really have a serious impact on the price. Basically, you have to buy tens of millions. Then you'll have to basically throw them away because that's how you're gonna, you know, because you're gonna have to dump it, and you're gonna have to dump it at a lower price. I mean, that's one way. The other way is by, I guess, injecting money into the places that they can be manipulated. But again, that's up to the community, right? So if the community stays true to our objectives and keeps doing what we're doing, I really don't think the community can be manipulated by VCs to a point of where it will have a significant effect on the market cap or on the price. And again, I don't like talking about price because price is arbitrary. I like to talk about value. And even if there could be something done short term to impact the price, I don't believe that with the paradigm that we established in this community, it could have a significant negative effect on the value of what's being built. So what is your take on this, Joe? Let's start with Joe.
Sure. So yeah, you always have that potential, but I would say it probably would show up more in terms of attacking frameworks or trying to exploit frameworks on top of an ecosystem. You know, it's actually a really popular, topic of discussion outside of the Ergo ecosystem right now, where you had a trader that manipulated kind of the Oracle feed into Mango DeFi protocol. Made a couple of $1 million, and you know, now I guess there's some legal ramifications that they're facing, and so that opens up its own interesting question in terms of DeFi and code as law. What happens if you build something that's kind of fragile and somebody breaks it? Who's to blame there? Being a mechanism, I think right now maybe 3x long or 3x short is the largest position somebody can open. So I would be kind of hard to make that too profitable when you're talking about a environment with multiple actors that would arbitrage price. Is it possible? Sure, but then practical, that's hard to say. So I guess in one viewpoint, you always have like possibility, and then you have probability, and then you have reality, right? And I would say possible, sure, probable, much less. The reality is we have seen some, large actors, let's say the Bear Whale as an example, that, was actively trying to manipulate prices even when we were a lot smaller as an ecosystem. And that particular actor wasn't always the best trader. Let's just say that there was a couple of times where things went the wrong way, and seemed a little painful.
The same happened with much bigger cryptocurrency. So in Ethereum, there was They were actually whales, right? Big whales. Well, did successful attacks and then failed. And even well, overall in the space, we also had very huge sharks like Alameda, for example, right? And yeah, we know how it ended after all.
Yeah, that's actually kind of amazing. They seem to have every natural advantage you could have. Still.
Yeah, and Alameda, well, was the biggest and, yeah, the most respected shark, right? Pretty recently, yeah. Like one year ago. And, yeah, so they attacked a lot of protocols around, actually. Well, it seems, but yeah, failed after all. So yeah, I mean, this is the crazy space. So well, sharks will always eat each other here, yeah, right? And yeah, the would be a lot of rather situations, and yeah, it's already happening daily around. So yeah, but well, imagining some well shark which is always eating others, right? It's not the case, right? It seems well. I think well, it's possible only with external support, right? That's probably was one of the reason why SBF. Well, pushed for regulations, right? So in traditional finance, yeah, big sharks are usually secured, right? But by the state.
Yep. Yep. All right. Let's try to get one good question, maybe two good questions in. Let's see. All right. Oh, hey, Joe. So are you going to be giving away a Comet lottery ticket this AMA?
I can certainly tip bot some Comet if somebody wants to chase, you know, the dream. Pick a winner, Dan, of the questions you've asked so far, and I'll tip them enough Comet to cover a lottery ticket on Telegram.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'll do that at the end.
Dan's going to pick a winner and I'll tip him a Comet and let them figure out if they want to risk it all chasing a dream. Let's see.
All right. All right. All right. Let's see. Okay, there's a question for from Wendy Moon. Does Zengate have any decentralized on off ramp plans? Yes, we do. We're basically going to be aggregating various different solutions, right? So there are going to be centralized on off ramps. There's going to be decentralized on off ramps. I personally want to push decentralization as much as possible, but with mass adoption, as you must understand, it's not that easy. You have to do it gradually. So this is one of the reasons why not Zengate, but Palmyra in particular is an aggregate solution that is meant to evolve. And that's really the only way we're going to be able to gain mass adoption with our technology is if we are ready to go for the long haul, understand that not everything's going to happen all at once and evolve. Yes, ideally would like to have decentralized on off ramps. We will have those. We have many opportunities to have those with the jurisdictions that we're working with, both in local economies and international economies within the jurisdictions. But again, this is going to take some time to to have people understand why it's better and to understand why it's better to trust, or it's better to rather have a trustless environment than to have to trust one entity that they will pay out or they will do the transfer, they will act as your on-off ramp. So it's a long didn't read would be yes. We have plans for that, but it will take some time. We'll need some runway. here's a comment from X. So Dan must be a ventriloquist. I can't see his hands. Actually, I'm not a ventriloquist. I am a telepath. You're not hearing this. You're hearing this inside your mind right now, all of you. All right, let's see. What is a good kind of... all right, so... All right, let's all right, let's pick this one for our last question here. So your thoughts on prioritizing development efforts towards financial use cases versus non-financial use cases. So, prioritizing development efforts towards financial cases versus non-financial cases. I think that... it's not about prioritizing finance over non-finance. It's about prioritizing solutions that solve problems. So development towards financial cases can also be adopted to non-financial cases. I mean, these things a lot of times are hybrid, right? Or financial tools can act as part of a non-financial centric solution. So I think that we should prioritize based on the what we're solving here. One of our core principles is banking the unbanked, which is actually not a very good term because you're not really going to be banking them. You're going to be providing financial services for them that they cannot get through legacy banking infrastructure. But again, basically providing financial freedom to the financially freedom deprived. And connecting the unconnected. So it all depends on what we're trying to solve. And that's where the priority would go. I don't think it will be kind of, or at least in my view, we won't be prioritizing finance over non-finance. What is your thought on that, Alex?
Right. So, on bank, the unbanked. So, recently I found a good term, people centric finance. Right. Doing people centric finance, right? Because that's probably what we are talking about. Right. So, what was the question? So it was about financial versus non-financial applications.
Yeah. Then, so that's the priority. You know, they're talking about what are your thoughts on prioritizing one over the other or vice versa?
I don't think.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, go ahead. When we are talking about blockchains, right, public blockchains and private ones failed and failing all the time, right? even if someone is still pushing for that. So public blockchain is always about money, right? Because, otherwise it's probably doesn't make sense, right? To use such expensive technologies, right? So much full replication around the globe, you need to pay, right, for such services. And then for many years in the space, I haven't found many non-financial applications which. Convincing. Tokenizing things like art and so on. But we can think here about reworking art into financial products, right? Building financial products on top of digitized art and so on. So yeah, to me, it's about money all the time. Public blockchains and all the apps on top of them is kind of a shadow banking system, right, all the time.
What do you think, Joe?
Yeah,
what are your thoughts?
I was gonna say that in terms of let's say blockchain. Yeah, there's magic internet money, so everything is. In terms of development, I think that's like the interesting word in the question. I don't think that it's you can really say. Let's say there's no clear line, in my opinion, when everything is kind of open and liquid in terms of useful and non-useful or financial and non-financial. It's hard to make things like mutually exclusive, right? But from the back end, it's probably more a matter of creating useful primitives that people can take and try to build use cases. If you look at a variety of different, trajectories you could take a project on top of a blockchain. A lot of the times they use the same primitives, the same tools, the same frameworks, and then they try to apply them into different spaces for different use cases. And so I think that core should be the priority. Now, in terms of whether businesses succeed or fail, a lot of that has to do with, the parties that are building or managing or, the use case, sometimes even broader market conditions and how people are prepared for them. So there's always a lot of variables out there, but I would start from the premise that, any public blockchain is, let's call it magic internet money. For us, it's proof of work. So it denotes the amount of energy and, computational input it takes to create a block. That's what kind of backs. That's the reserve of proof of work coins. But there's a variety of different mechanisms of creating that kind of magic internet money and a lot of different tools out there in terms of how to use it and program it. But I do think that it kind of starting from first principles, we should consider any type of cryptocurrency money. Even if it is something silly, like, the bonks of the space where, you have, I don't know how many trillion printed overnight and then given away for free. And, then some social, hysteria around it. It still is some aspect of money, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, I think this is a good place to leave it off now. All right. I got to pick one, huh? All right. I hope you guys just listen. If I don't pick you guys, don't hate me. Okay. I'm not getting paid off by Comet or Joe. So I promise you, I'm getting no bribes. I would say that there were a lot of really good questions today, guys. Don't get me wrong. But the one that I particularly liked was the one by Sigmanaut about VC impact on Ergo and what would happen if VCs kind of try to manipulate us. So that would be my pick. Although there's a couple of questions that are really, really close second.
All right. So ping me on Telegram and I will get rid of my comment. It's your problem now, Sigmanaut. Have fun.
All right, guys. Well, yeah, Fo, you should have bribed me way, way earlier. Fo was saying that he forgot to bribe me. Yeah, you did. Oh, wait a second. Is this thing on? Crap. All right. Anyway, this is that's all the time we have for this week. And well, thanks everyone for coming and for your questions. And we will speak to you next week, hopefully through the magic of video.
Yeah,
we should not mind melt.
All right, everybody, have a wonderful week. We do have the developer update that's coming out Sunday. So those of you that have time or interest, feel free to tune in.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.